Welcome to Cannabis Health Radio, a podcast where we share stories from people around the world who are using cannabis as medicine. The information is meant to raise awareness about the health benefits of cannabis, but should not be taken as medical advice. Now, here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
And we welcome you to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
I mentioned this on the program before, that colorectal cancer is the third most common cancer worldwide. And Hungary has the highest rate of colorectal cancer, followed by South Korea, according to the World Cancer Research Fund. The majority of colorectal cancers occur in people older than 50. The average age at the time of diagnosis for men is 68 and for women is 72, although it can occur in young adults and teenagers. Today we have as our guest a woman who, in the spring of this year, was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer that spread to her lymph nodes, and today she is cancer-free. And joining us from British Columbia, Canada, to tell her story is Susan O'Keefe. Susan, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Susan, when you were diagnosed this past spring, did you ever in your wildest dreams think that you'd be cancer-free this soon?
No.
Tell me.
But I had a belief. I did have a belief.
That you were going to get better.
That's right.
Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of people just hand over their health issues to their doctor as opposed to believing that whatever they're doing will make them well. And you are really a testament to the power of the mind over matter. And I think that's absolutely fantastic. Tell me, how were you feeling before you got the diagnosis from the doctor?
Well, it was very interesting because I felt nothing. I felt perfectly healthy. I'm a very healthy human being for the most part. And I just felt my family has a lot of cancer and I've caregiven a lot through all of it. And I just felt I was over 50. I'm 56 now and I'm due for a colonoscopy. Mm-hmm. So I asked for that and doctors wouldn't give it to me because I had no symptoms or they just don't do that anymore. And I had heard, I went into an office and said, I'm over 50, you know, I have a big family history of cancer. I'd like a colonoscopy. So I wasn't given one. And then a couple years later, I got a new doctor. I wasn't impressed with that one, went with a new doctor and we lied. And we said that I found blood in my stool because otherwise I couldn't get it with the system. Mm. And sure enough, we found a tumor.
And did you have any kind of inkling that it might come back positive, or were you just kind of ticking all the boxes?
No, I'm just really proactive with my healthcare. And I go ahead and like my mother had breast cancer, so I've been since 39 getting mammograms. So I'm just really proactive because of all the, my sister passed in 2020 of cancer. So I'm very on top of myself as far as checking.
There's an awareness.
That's right.
Tell me,
what goes through your mind when they say stage 3 colon cancer?
It was really, you know, going in with no symptoms and then receiving that. So that was April 15th. I had my colonoscopy and by April 16th, and this was at 4 o'clock at night, by 9 a.m., I had been called by an oncologist surgeon to come in and I had no idea what was going on. But I knew, somebody has mistakenly called me and nobody has told me anything. So I guess they had found a tumor during the colonoscopy. It had been tattooed. And then April 16th is when I got that call. And I went into a pretty good session with myself in the mirror is what happened. And full surrender and understanding that this was my turn now. And I had been turned on to Phoenix Tier 6 years ago in hopes to save my mother. And I had reached out then and began an evening protocol of 50 milligrams for myself at night just to go to sleep 6 years ago, because nobody in my family would do this protocol. So to be honest, April 16th, it happened to me. And I knew I wanted, and I had to put my money where my mouth was, so to speak, because I've been a believer in RSO for 6 years. So no one else in my family would do it. So I had to do it.
Why wouldn't they do it? Hmm? Why wouldn't they do it?
Why wouldn't they do the colonoscopy?
No, why wouldn't they take the cannabis oil?
Oh, there, fear. A lot of fear. My mother had never done anything like that. She was actually willing to maybe participate, had a family meeting, and it's basically the fear of it and being, I think, you know, them being afraid of the unknown and just going by what doctors say. And I watched them all do things. My mother didn't do the chemotherapy. My sister did. My cousin did. Aunts have. I mean, we're riddled with it. And I've just slowly watched my family die, and I was not going to do it that way.
Susan, for listeners' sake, could you explain what you mean by saying that they had tattooed you?
Right. Oh, sure. So during the colonoscopy procedure was really not difficult at all. I did not find that, you know, intrusive at all. It was fine. I guess when they were up there, so they found ended up being only 2.5 centimeters. My tumor was quite small. So when they did the colonoscopy, the gentleman that does that, when they were up in my colon, when they saw a tumor, they mark it so that a surgeon could come back. Should you require surgery, that's the marking where they would begin to do the removal of the colon. So I had a right hemicolectomy. Okay. I did choose surgery.
Okay.
So they got out the 2.5 centimeter tumor through surgery.
Correct. Yeah.
And did they encourage you to take chemotherapy or radiation?
Yeah. So they did harvest 22 lymph nodes during the surgery, and two were positive. So meaning that's where it became stage three. Mm-hmm. And then you don't have a lot of time to make any decisions. It's very isolating. It's quite dramatic. And they want you to start. So they said with me, they would like me 4 to 6 weeks after the surgery to begin chemo. And by that, they wanted me to do intravenous and also pill form for the colon. There's only one, they only have one protocol for my colon cancer, and that was an IV drip of chemotherapy in conjunction with pills. And they wanted to do 8 rounds.
And what are you thinking?
And I'm absolutely going no, because I witnessed it. I sat with family through treatments, and I never, my brain could not go to intravenous, so I immediately just said, I can't do that. I don't understand the pills, and I want to do it with cannabis, because I was getting a lot of pressure. I felt a lot of pressure from family and friends to do Western medicine.
And when you told that you wanted to do cannabis, what did they say?
They didn't want me to do that. They wanted a lot of society is based on, and my friends and just research that I had done, and go with Western medicine, like chemo's the only way. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And, I had been trying to do this for 6 years to try to see if anybody, so I told the doctor, I said, okay, I refuse. So I had to go in and meet, with an oncologist, and he explained that. And I said, well, I absolutely will not do intravenous. Explained to me the pills. They explained that that was the powerhouse anyways. And I said, am I able to quit if I want, if I so choose to do it? He said, yes. He said, I have to make a decision in 3 days. He told me this on Friday. I had to make a decision on Monday. I'm 5 weeks out of surgery at this point. I said, I won't do it unless I can do my cannabis treatment simultaneously. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, I have to check with a pharmacist to see if you can do that. And I said, if I am not allowed to do cannabis with this, I will not do it. And he came back and he said, the pharmacist said, yes, you can do it. But one thing he has explained to me that it could enhance the high, the chemo pills. So just go easy on it so that I make my appointments with him, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I'll be fine. And so I did the research and found out, because I have to not be asleep, and I had thought I would be asleep for a long time. So I ended up dosing with suppositories and oral at night.
So I got to tell you, Susan, that when you told me that about the oncologist or being worried about it, or talking about enhancing the high, I've been at this 10 years. I've never heard that. Never, ever. Once.
Oh, yeah.
Here to this. Yeah. So actually what they're saying is if you do the chemotherapy pill, you'll get more bang for your buck.
Yeah, that's what right. He said. And I guess for me, it was a disconnect, to be honest, with what I've witnessed with family. I just had absolutely, and I didn't want to do it at all. So I felt like I was satisfying family and friends by doing the pills, but also honoring my own self. And today I know I would skip the other because I did 2 weeks of those pills and I went down hard.
Tell us about what happened when you took those pills.
I got every side effect possible instantaneously. So the side effects that you could possibly get from these pills, and I'm just going to pull up my, because I documented and went in to the oncologist after the 2 weeks to tell him what had happened to me. So the side effects within a week of taking, so I only made it one round. I only made it 2 weeks on these pills because it pretty much killed me. And that's what he said when I went back after the first round. So I had a dripping and tender nose, severely chapped lips to the point of scabbing, making eating difficult. I had sensitive teeth and gums, like I could barely chew anything. My teeth felt like they were falling out of my head. My fingertips and feet were numb. I was unable to grip anything. Full body rash. This is a interesting one, but an enlarged clitoris, which made urinating very, very difficult. Itchy female parts, swollen and painful feet. I could barely walk, and I had a geographic tongue, so I couldn't eat.
What's a geographic tongue, Susan?
So my tongue separated like a dry desert floor.
Oh.
Jesus, you were a mess.
I was an absolute mess, and I lost 10 pounds after the surgery and 10 pounds 2 weeks on those pills. So I had a dramatic 20-pound weight loss within 4 weeks. So I melted, is what happened.
I suspect you'd probably be dead if you continued with your chemo.
That's correct. So I went in after the 2 weeks. They were going to do 6 months, so it was going to be 2 weeks on, 1 week off for 6 months. And I went down in the first round, and I walked into the office. It's all during COVID. It was has all been very a very isolating, very challenging time to go through it all. But he looked at me, and they even called in people, like interns. because of what I looked like. It was very dramatic. My lips split open. I had a just looked like I was in a bar fight.
Did the doctor try and blame the cannabis?
What's interesting is no, the doctor did not. However, I had a couple of friends say, "Oh my God, is it?" And I said, "Did I look like this before?" I said, "It's absolutely the chemo pills, because I didn't look. This didn't happen when I was doing my maintenance of 50 for 6 years. Mm-hmm. It didn't, and it remains." Yes, but some people questioned it. And as soon as I went off of those pills, it took a month, by the way, for my body to recover. I went through I shed all my skin on my feet and my hands. It changed my skin.
Wow.
So I am quite shocked that people could even do chemo for what it did to me instantly.
And what was the recommendation from the doctor after seeing you?
The doctor went, "Oh my God, I'm killing you. You need to, I'm taking you off this, and you need to go home and drink as much water as you can and flush this out of you. And there's nothing more I can do for you. And we'll just put you on maintenance." And I ask, "What does that look like?" And I did the Shawshank turn. I was very grateful to walk out of there, hobble is more like it, and begin my journey with what I wanted to do, which was high levels of THC, which I healed. It took a month for what that stuff did, but I feel fantastic today.
Now, Susan, you were taking how much oil a day? This was an 8-strain oil, if I remember correctly.
It was a 4 or 5 strain, I think, but I can double check.
If it's just coming from back east?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 6 strains, now it's 8, yeah.
Okay, and so what I did to function, I did some days I did 1,100 milligrams, but for the most part, it was a solid 1,000. And for me, what I did enabled for me to function, I still had to run a house and business. So I chose to do suppositories. So veggie caps, 200 milligrams. So I did it at 1, 3, 5, and 7 o'clock. I did a 200 milligram suppository. And at bedtime, I took 200 milligrams orally.
What a trooper. Ian, I think we should give you 200 milligrams, see how you do. You got quite a tolerance there, Susan, to take 200 milligrams orally.
Oh, yeah. Well, at the beginning, I thought to myself as I was building myself up, I got up to 300. And I went, I did not have the same, it did not have the same, the feelings was much different when I did it rectally. Mm-hmm. How I felt was much more manageable. And I think building it up slowly.
Right. You're not getting high that way. And I think we talked about this the other day when we video chatted, Sue, but very recent studies indicate that the concentration of cannabinoids given rectally over orally, the THC concentration is 100 times stronger, CBD 250, but without the high.
Right. Yes. And I also orally did 100 milligrams of CBD.
Good.
And so I do that at night now. So I take my 200 milligrams plus 100 mils of CBD and I go to sleep.
I'll bet you do.
Yeah. I'm surprised you wake up.
Well, this is the whole point.
You were diagnosed in April, and here we are, October, well, beginning of November, and you're clear. How long? So, first of all, that's phenomenal. It's absolutely incredible, and I can't even tell you how emotional I got when I saw that you were clear. But how long were you actually at this? How long did it take you to build up to that full dose a day?
You have to say at the beginning, I mean, you really do have to do a lot of soul work and just understand that you understand that it's a mind thing, right? Mm-hmm. So you just have
mind,
to say,
body, oh, spirit.
Holistic. Exactly. So I did a lot of soul work. I did a lot of reading. I did a lot of meditation. I did, over the 6 years, I had been on some cannabis websites, and I stopped eating meat. I stopped drinking, and I only feed my body organic food. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to change a lot of things. It's not one thing. It's a body, mind, spirit connection, and
you and I talked about that the other day. This emotional component, the working on your emotional self as well.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of healing work. And by that, I mean spiritual work in order to help yourself, because we are connected, the body and mind. And if you can calm that, the work is easier.
Yes. Susan, I'm wondering, given the history of cancer in your family, and you watched your mother with cancer, your sister with cancer.
My dad, too.
Your dad. Oh, boy, your dad as well. I'm wondering if in the back of your mind, you, prior to taking cannabis, you maybe thought that you're next.
I had no doubt that it was a possibility for me. You know, yeah. I mean, you can't help that when you're surrounded with it. And I caregave. My sister-in-law also passed, and a cousin last year also. So it's, whether they're blood family or family, it is very around our, it's in our family, mm-hmm. you know? And so I believe in doing a lot of soul work, healing work too, because I believe that doesn't help the body.
What do your friends and family think now that you are cancer-free after taking cannabis?
They're really quite surprised and grateful that I obviously stuck with it. Mm-hmm. They were very skeptical and just going, oh, well, wow. The ones that wanted me to do it and then it took me down were like, she can't do chemo. And then I went ahead, and everybody goes on with their life, and you're still doing your healing, and they're shocked and grateful and just going, oh my God, you mean you did it? You mean that works? And I'm like, yeah, it does. But I'm also promoting the spiritual component.
And that's really important. Really, really important. So was there ever a time that you didn't think this was going to work, that you ever kind of doubted it, or did you just know it was going to work?
I know. It is a full surrender and belief for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's so important, this idea of basically what happens instead of the cancer controlling the person, when you start doing stuff for yourself to heal, you start controlling the cancer, and just that feeling of taking control is huge.
Exactly. And kind of shocking that we live in, you know, a country or a society that it basically, you know, it didn't work for me. What they had one thing and it didn't work for me. And they sent me, I call it getting sent to the farm. You know, that was it.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, oops. Okay, we'll have a good life. Like zero follow-up, zero support, right? So only by the grace of, you know, my higher power and my perseverance to try to do something am I sitting here today, because the system does not.
Corey, when you had cancer, did you also believe that the cannabis would cure you?
You know, I think I did. I knew that if anything was going to do it, it was going to be this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had days where keep in mind, no Facebook pages on this back then, you know, no dispensaries had even sold oil. And I'd look at this tube of, you know, syringe of black crap and go, this is going to save my life, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it did. So for the most part, yeah, I knew if anything was going to do it, it was going to be this.
Susan, when you went back to your doctor and had a test in the last couple of weeks and you were cancer free, what did the doctor say?
They're just like, oh, they just don't understand. And you know what I found out? They really don't know. Like my blood work has been excellent through the whole thing. The only thing that I just had an iron infusion. Yes, I'm dealing with what surgery did.
Anemia.
Right? Yeah. But I'm all over that. So again, being proactive, asking questions, doing things, it's really, really important.
Mm-hmm. When your blood work, some of the notes that Corey posted, that your blood work looks amazing, your CEA is normal. What is CEA?
It's a tumor count. And I don't really understand why they call it the things they call.
You carcinogenic. It's a carcinogenic estimated assay.
Okay.
Oh yeah, and my levels are normal. My blood, everything on me is fantastic, and was during the whole thing. The only time my blood took a dip, which is strange, because I asked the oncologist, a different doctor than the surgeon, and I asked him at the end of this, when they sent me to the farm, I said, I want to see my blood work before, during, and after this 2 weeks. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he looked at me and he goes, are you testing me? I said, I don't know what you want to call it, but yeah, I want to know what happened to me. And he showed me my blood work, and it remained the same. So it's very odd, except for then I went anemic because of blood loss and stuff. But we'll get that back. Mm. So it's very strange, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's remarkable. I mean, you have just an incredible story. And what I find absolutely amazing is how quickly you were determined to be cancer-free. I mean, from April, middle of April of this year to now, we're into November, and you're cancer-free. That is truly amazing.
Yeah, and you have to start, thank you, and I did have a little cry myself November 1st. It's a good day not to be having the intimate relationship with my pointing finger. And it's nice not to have my life run by alarms.
It's a bummer, isn't it?
and to be able to wear what I want to wear. But what I did was I, after the surgery and in May is when I started to build up to the gram a day, because that's kind of important. And so what I did was I started with 50. I kept that and I went straight to 100. I went to 100 milligrams orally, and then every 3 days I doubled it. So,
wow, what a trooper.
To
we're
the point
make you
of
cannabis oil poster child.
And it's funny because where I live, you know, it's been COVID. And so I've got, we have a courtyard here. And so people were just like, oh no. And they saw what the 2 weeks did. And they went, oh no, we're going to lose our friend. And I kept at it. And they're like, oh my God. Because a lot of people have tried edibles and stuff, and they're like, okay, I don't understand what you're doing, how you're doing it. And I go, you just have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, doing it rectally, it really helped a lot. So, and then about 600 milligrams that was the levels, like it never got worse. And I shouldn't say worse, but I never felt any more. Like, at 600, no more different feelings happened for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't take long to get up to a gram at all.
So you're going to continue on a maintenance dose.
That's right. So you, like for me, for now, I just do 200 milligrams with that 100 milligram CBD at night.
Yeah, that's fabulous. And that should do the trick. But yeah, just don't stop, that's for sure.
And I remain, I will remain alcohol free, and I will remain vegetarian.
Geez, 200 milligrams. I'm proud of you. I don't think I'd wake up.
He's proud and he's a little jealous. But.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, yeah, I mean, I did talk to my other coach, and it was explained to me that a lot of people can't do this, like get or you know, hit a wall and get afraid or something happens. And I am grateful. And that's why I would suggest suppositories if they were feeling that they'd have auditory or, you know, paranoid thoughts, anxiety, things like that. That's where the mind comes in. And that's where you have to just have that relationship with yourself and say, I'm healing. This is healing. What I'm feeling is myself getting healthy. Right.
Yeah, I've got to tell you, I have these capsules, and they're in these little plastic bags, and it said 50 milligrams on it. So I'm wondering, is it 50 milligrams of CBD or THC? Anyway, I took one day, and just before bed, nothing seemed to happen. So I thought, okay, it's CBD. Then I took one the next morning. Whew, it wasn't CBD, it was THC. And I was wasted for a few hours, I'll tell you.
At the beginning you are, but you build a tolerance.
You build a tolerance. That's the same stuff that you, you're on too, by the way, Susan.
Yeah.
I remember the first suppository. I do. I remember, and then I went, oh, I feel something, right? But it wasn't a bad feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, oh, okay. And just sort of, I was fine. So yeah, I guess the universe for me, I'm allergic to chemo and cannabis loves me.
Yeah. I don't know how many times Corey and I have talked and Corey's talked to people who, when she suggests that they take cannabis rectally, they say, oh no, I can't do that. Right, Corey?
Yes. Yeah.
But why would they say they can't?
For a number of reasons. But, you know, I had the elderly fellow. That's an exit, not an entrance, you know.
Yeah.
I think maybe sometimes there's something in people's pasts. But it's just that whole, you know, pardon my French, anal retentive society out there. It's like, oh, for crying out loud. You know, like rectal dosing of medications is far more accepted in Europe. 80% of medications in Europe are still given rectally.
Well, it hits your system. It is a great highway for that.
Yeah, it hits your system. There's no high. And because there's no high, you can get in dosing so much quickly. Like if you, Susan, had to build up, even with your tolerance, to 1,000 done orally, you'd still be at it.
I don't think I could handle that. Like I'm saying, 300 mils would be, and I can do that awake during the day now. That's what I'm saying. Tolerance levels they increase rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, people will think that, but I mean, you could, if you were on this, and I know a lot of people go, oh, I smoked weed for a long time. Does that mean I'm never, and I'm like, no, it's different.
I say it's a different beast.
Yeah, it's oil. You have to ingest it, and that's where the power is, right? So yeah, I would suggest anybody, if they didn't want that, start at night for your oral, and because you're sleeping, right? Yeah. And then rectally is the way to go, and you just get used to it. It's okay. Lube and your finger are your best friends.
Susan, it's a fantastic story. It's really great. And you said at the beginning of the program, you feel better than you have in years.
That's right. And I think a lot of that is, to me, I took it as a gift. So I think it was an opportunity for me to change the rest of my entire life. So if you go into, like, whatever in life makes you focus and recharge and recenter, for me, it was cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Full stop, reevaluate, and change your life.
It was almost like you embraced it.
Yeah, I didn't run. I surrendered and went, it's my turn to conquer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things I have trouble sometimes getting my head around is people say that cancer was the best thing that ever happened to me. But I think in your case, it certainly was, wasn't it?
It was. Because now I took control of my life.
Yeah.
Right?
Susan, in conclusion, what would you say to people who may be somewhat apprehensive about taking cannabis?
Take my hand and walk with us and understand that there are alternatives and you can thrive through your cancer till you have no cancer.
Very well said.
Very well said.
Susan, it's a pleasure to talk to you. A great story. Thank you very much.
My gratitude is great. And I'm so appreciative that I looked on the internet and I did some research 6 years ago and I fell into the arms of a website Corey had. And I'm forever grateful and forever changed. And I'm an advocate.
And your story will change the life of someone around the world who hears it, I'm sure.
I hope so. I hope so.
Absolutely it will, Susan. Thank you so much for stepping up and sharing your story. And I am just incredibly thrilled for you.
And I'm so grateful to you, all of you. And we'll spread the word and am here for anybody. Okay.
Thank you, Susan.
Okay, have a wonderful day. Happy Thursday.
Happy cancer-free Thursday.
That's right. Thank you.
If you're enjoying our podcast, we'd love if you subscribe, rate, and write a review about Cannabis Health Radio on your social media platforms. And this will help us reach more people who could benefit from this information. And we'd very much like to thank our listeners for supporting us and sharing our podcast with others who would benefit from hearing these testimonials, like Susan's, about the healing power of cannabis. And our purpose in doing this podcast is to help as many people as we can. And we're listener supported. We don't have any advertising. And if you'd like to make a one-time donation or a monthly donation, regardless of the amount, go to our website, cannabishealthradio.com, and a drop-down menu will show you how you can do that. It's very easy. We're very grateful for your support and for those of us who supported us along the journey that we've taken over the last number of years. We thank you very much, and we thank you for listening, and we'll be back again next week.
Thanks for listening to Cannabis Health Radio. For more information and to search previous podcasts, visit our website, CannabisHealthRadio.com. Subscribe so you don't miss new episodes. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This podcast is made possible by donations from our listeners. If you found the information helpful, please consider making a donation in any amount through our website. You can also help us share our message by leaving a review on your podcast listening platform. We are very grateful for your support. Thank you.